Hello, everybody. I'm Maxwell Jenkins from Lost in Space, and you're listening to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life.
Welcome, one and all, to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. I'm your host, Joe Stuber, and we are right in the middle of my look at the Netflix sci-fi hit series, Lost in Space. Hope you were hanging out in the lair with me last week when I welcomed actress Mina Sunwall. She plays Penny Robinson on the new series. Now, if you missed that episode, after today's show, you definitely want to head over to comicbookcentral.net or blogtalkradio.com/comicbookcentral, or iTunes to download or stream that episode. Man, that was a fun conversation with Mina. We talked about so many things. We had an interesting chat about Debbie the Chicken and so much more. So check that out if you haven't already. On today's look at Lost in Space, we are going to be talking about Robinsons and Robots.
Danger, Will Robinson.
No, not that one.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Yeah, that's the one. The new Lost in Space robot's best buddy, Maxwell Jenkins. He is my guest today. And Maxwell portrays Will Robinson on the show. He's going to be along in just a few moments. Now, before I get to my exclusive one-on-one with Maxwell today, a couple of news items to get to. Now, first up, as many of you listeners out there know, some sad news to report this week. Actress Margot Kidder, who portrayed Lois Lane in all four Superman feature films from the 70s and the 80s, she passed away, unfortunately, at the age of 69 this week. Tributes were pouring in all over social media this week, many from her Superman castmates. Now, you listeners know that this year, in particular, I've been focused on Superman and Superman the movie, celebrating 80 years of the character, 40 years of Superman the movie. I've been celebrating all year long, welcomed some folks from the movie earlier this year. I've got a Superman celebration episode coming up very soon on Comic Book Central. Superman Celebration, that's the event that's going to take place in Metropolis, Illinois, where else? June 7th through the 10th. On that preview episode, I will be chatting with the co-chairperson of the event, Carla Ogle, about Margot Kidder's visits to Metropolis. She was there several times for the celebration. Carla's got a terrific story about Margot and the Superman that they have there at the celebration. So you definitely don't want to miss that. Then, at the event in June, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be recording interviews with a bunch of folks there. I'm sure everybody's going to be talking about Margot and their memories of her. So much more on the super legacy of Margot Kidder in the weeks ahead right here on Comic Book Central. She is certainly missed, but man, we have those incredible performances to go back and watch in her memory. I've been watching them over and over and over again. The helicopter rescue, the first flight with Superman, those scenes from the first film, iconic to say the least. Not only the best moments in that film, but in film history. Those are iconic. So stay tuned for memories of Margot Kidder on an episode of Comic Book Central that's right around the corner. We'll be chatting with some folks about her and their memories of her. So stay tuned. One other newsworthy mention this week, and it relates directly to what we are talking about here on the show for three straight episodes. All right, now as you listen to these interviews with Mina Sunwall, Maxwell Jenkins, next week, Don West from Lost in Space, Ignacio Saricchio, please keep in mind, I recorded these conversations before the cast and crew got the fantastic news that Lost in Space has been renewed by Netflix for a second season. It was great news. We all kind of knew it was coming, but everyone had to wait until the official announcement. So more Robinsons, more Robot, more Dr. Smith on the way. But as for these interviews here in Comic Book Central, we kind of had to speak about the show in terms of what they would like to see in a season two if they got one. So I got some very interesting ideas from all my guests in these conversations. Will their ideas come to fruition? Who knows? What we do know is that it is going to be a long year waiting for season two. It was a long year waiting for season one. When I had my Lost in Space interviews last year and we had to wait for the show. But I'm telling you, if the quality of season two is anywhere close to the quality of season one, it is going to be well worth the wait. What you won't have to wait for is my special guest today. Oh, before we get to that, before I forget.
Warning, warning, warning.
Yeah, that's right. Spoilers ahead. So if you haven't seen season one of the new Lost in Space on Netflix, you might want to hit pause, go back and check it out, binge watch it, and then get right back. Because we're going to be talking about some critical plot points in this interview today. You have been warned. All right. Check this out, then I will be right back to talk to a young man who knows a thing or two about robots, Maxwell Jenkins. Could say Maxwell was born into showbiz. His parents are the founders of the Chicago-based Midnight Circus, and at just 3 years of age, young Maxwell was brought into the show, ultimately performing juggling and a tight wire act and playing mandolin. Now, to date, that circus has raised close to $1 million to help preserve Chicago area parks. In 2013, Maxwell took up acting, going on to appear in TV shows like Betrayal, Sense8, and NCIS New Orleans. Now, last year, when producers of Netflix's reimagining of the 60s sci-fi classic Lost in Space were casting the series, the robot-loving sci-fi fan Maxwell Jenkins was their choice to board the Jupiter 2 as the new Will Robinson. Well, my guest today, he went from young Will Gorski on Netflix to young Will Robinson on Netflix. That is his most recent gig, where he has spent a considerable amount of time lost in space. We found him. He's here with us today. Danger, Will Robinson. It is time to welcome in Maxwell Jenkins. Maxwell, thank you for joining me today on Comic Book Central.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Great to have you here. Great. I'm glad you're not lost in space right now. That would have been tough to, you know, to dial over to Alpha Centauri, but we got you here. Look, if I'm correct, as we record this, you just wrapped school for today, right?
I did, yeah. It was about 2 hours ago. So okay. Finished up my homework.
Okay. Oh, well, good. Mina finished up hers as well. So you got, I'm doing back-to-back Robinson. I know these are going to air at different times, but it just had a chance to talk to your TV sister as well. Take me into this, your school life, sort of pre and post Lost in Space, because this thing hit huge. It really did.
Thank you. It was super fun to film. On set, talking about the school, we had a tutor on set, and I was in contact with my teachers back home all the time, so they were sending me work that I had to do. But when I'm not filming Lost in Space, I'm back home at my public school in Chicago.
What is life for you like at your Chicago public school? Because you're Will Robinson, and I know you know what that means now, but, like, do the kids... No, I know your teachers know what that means. Take me a little bit inside of that. Or are you still just Maxwell? I can't imagine it's just Maxwell.
So of course my friends have been really cool about it. They haven't treated different from before. I don't think they knew as much of Lost in Space before, but they watched the new one that we did and they really liked it. So they've been really cool about it.
Did you binge watch it when it came out? When I talked to your TV sister, Mina, she said that she had already seen, like, the first couple of episodes, and then she kind of binged the rest when it came out.
It took us one day to get through the whole thing. I mean, we just sat down and we went. Because we had that Friday off.
So that was the first time you saw it all put together, right?
Yep, that was the first time I saw it all put together, and we actually had our own special private screening at our local movie theater for a bunch of my friends.
Okay, completely different when you're filming it. What did you think when you saw it all put together? And I'm talking all the effects, the John Williams music, the score coming in, the claustrophobic feel of every scene, it feels like.
Yeah, seeing it all come together, it was like... It was honestly like watching, you know, a dream come true. I grew up loving sci-fi, and being able to be in a sci-fi show and being able to watch myself be like Luke Skywalker was really fun.
So the kids at school, they don't treat you any differently, but are they like, hey, can you get us on set? Can you, like, are they trying to, like, work their way in somehow to see the magic behind the sci-fi?
Well, my friend, he came and visited set for spring break.
Nice.
And that was really cool because I was a bit homesick. And they it was really great to see him there. But back at home, I'm kind of a bit of a nerd.
You have to be, right?
I watch Star Trek when I go home, like the originals, the original TV show. And Blade Runner, everything like that. So I'm kind of a nerd back at home.
Your sci-fi cred just keeps on climbing. Are the kids running around yelling danger, danger at you?
Sometimes, but I feel like that has kind of died down, and it's more like the teachers now who have been busy grading papers and finally got to see the show are congratulating me on it.
What was the funniest teacher interaction that you've had since the series premiered?
Okay, yeah. So we have a security guard at our school, David the security guard, and he. I walked in one day. I was a bit late because I think I was sick or something, and he was like, "Max, I just finished Lost in Space. God, that Dr. Smith, she just makes me so angry." And like kindergartners walked out, and he was like, "I just want to kill her. Oh my God."
She does elicit a response. Look, for our generation, we grew up on this, and we'll talk a little bit about the original series too, but I think we just kind of watch this and we go, oh, it's such a beloved franchise. What are they going to do with it? And then we watched it and we all went, oh, I think most people breathe a sigh of relief. Cause you guys nailed it. I mean, you guys got the tone. Was your first experience with Danger Will Robinson, was that from Family Guy?
Yeah. I was in New York on vacation, and I was a bit, it was one of my first times away, from home, and I was a bit homesick. And my dad's like, "You know what, Max, we're going to watch some Family Guy." And my mom was like, "No, he can't watch Family Guy." But by then we had already watched like two of the seasons, so it was a bit too late.
Mom was right.
Yeah, and there's countless Lost in Space references in there. So.
Yeah, there are. Okay. It's interesting that was your first experience with it. This series, Lost in Space, seems to be right up your alley. You're a robot guy, right?
Love robots. I actually got a hat made that said, "I heart robots."
I saw it on social media. I love that picture. Robot City Workshop. Tell me a little bit about this place.
Yeah, so when I was younger, best friend, we would after preschool we would go to Robot City, and we would build with robots, play with all the new robots. I remember there was this one robot, it was one of the original robots made, and they had it there, and I really wanted it. I never got it, unfortunately, but it was but I would go there all the time, just mesmerized by these awesome creations, and I grew up loving robots. Iron Giant is a hero of mine. So
I was going to ask you about that movie. That's one of my all-time favorite movies. And when you watch the series, there's so many elements. I don't know if that's intentional, unintentional. It's a classic story, but there's so many elements of that in there, of the sort of weaponized robot that befriends the young boy. Because that is one of your favorite films, were you able to take anything from that or just sort of channel anything into your performance as well?
Yeah, well, before we started filming, and when I knew I got the role of Will Robinson, I asked Neil Marshall, who is one of our producers and directors, and he said, watch these three movies for research. E.T., The Black Stallion, and The Iron Giant. And E.T. and The Iron Giant were my favorite movies of all time before then. And I couldn't make it through Iron Giant. It was just too sad. I love the relationship between Will and the robot, and I love the relationship in the Iron Giant. And, you know, bringing that to life in my own way, it was seriously a huge honor and a dream come true.
Oh, it's such a classic film. There's a line by Vin Diesel in it, I think, where he just says, "No Atomo, Superman." You know, he's like, he doesn't want to be. He doesn't want he gets it that he what he is and doesn't want to be that anymore. We'll get into that, but we sense that a bit in Lost in Space. Do you think they're going to develop that more with the robot?
We don't have any idea about a season two yet.
I know. We can't announce anything, but it's a huge hit, and you're going to have a season two. So if you were going to have a season two. Oh, you guys nailed it. You guys are going to get a season two. I know. I talked about this with me. I know you can't say anything officially. But
yes.
If you as a robot guy, you as a sci-fi nerd, what would you bring to the backstory of the robot? Not that it's going to happen, but like, what do you want to see about him?
Well, I actually have been pretending to pretend to be the robot back at home. But I think it would be really cool if, like, since Will created such a deep bond with the robot, when, like, whoever has made a bond with a robot, when they get hurt, like, say, Will loses an arm or something like that, it grows back as a robot arm or something like that, because he starts to be all his injuries become robotic. I think that would be a really fun idea, and I know it's crazy sci-fi and stuff like that, but that's just, like, what I love, stuff like that.
You may have to dial back the Blade Runner stuff, because I've heard a few interviews. You seem to be obsessed with losing appendages and Lost in Space. I'm sensing a theme here.
Or, like, maybe, like, Will, like, the robot becomes more compassionate.
That maybe. I like. Okay, that one. Yes.
And he doesn't want to be more compassionate, and he wants to stay how he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there seems to be an empathy between the characters. I hope to see that played out. Let's talk a little bit before we talk more Lost in Space. I'm going to go back and get your background a little bit. Very coincidental. One of my recent guests a few weeks back, Diane Sherry Case. She was in a circus at one point in her life. This is, like, I've never talked to anybody that's been in a circus, and within a few weeks, I've talked to two people in a circus. How is it that you came to be in a circus? Like, you're a circus performer.
Well, I was kind of born into it. My my parents were circus performers, and from a few weeks after I was born, I was in, like, New England touring around in a tent. And I kind of grew up. I performed with my dad for a few years, and then I did my own act, and it's kind of just grown from there.
How does that happen? Because I didn't even know this was, like, a thing. I mean, acting is one thing, you know, pretending for a living. And how did your dad, mom and dad, become circus people? I didn't even know that was, like, did they go to, like, circus school? Did they, like, how does that happen?
So my dad, when he was, I think, 16, played with the circus. And my mom was a theater major, but she wanted to do more physical theater. And they met on a Bud Light commercial. I think, like, it was 6 months later when they met again in Hollis, and they said, you know, we're both creative, let's start this company. And they performed in theaters for a while. It was called the Midnight Circus because it was more adult shows. And they performed in theaters for a while until when I was born, they were like, let's not do the circus and get normal jobs. But then they found out our neighborhood park was going to be downsized. And they were like, we have to do something about it. So they started a one weekend circus. And after that weekend, I think they raised like $250,000.
Wow.
Or something like that.
That's unbelievable.
$25,000.
Oh, okay. But even still, still. But for they're saving parks. They're like saving the community parks, right?
Yeah. And now that's become like a full-time thing. In the summer, we go on tour and we bring those communities together, and we bring in acrobats from the Montreal Circus School from all over the place, and it's really a magical experience.
That's fantastic. All right, so that's how you get into show business. We got that. Your acting debut was in the TV series. Betrayal. Your acting debut was in you were in Betrayal. This was under the direction of Patty Jenkins. Are you related to Patty Jenkins?
You know, I've actually gotten that question a few times. No, but okay. We have been in contact, and we're still in touch.
Okay. So, but you can't just, like, dial her up and say, hey, can I be in Wonder Woman 2?
No.
Got it. Fair enough. Even as Will Robinson. I don't know.
I wish, but.
That would be totally cool. Okay, let's talk Lost in Space. When did you first hear about that this was going to be a thing? And when did you start to get a sense of, oh, this is not just an average sci-fi show or just something new? This has got some history behind it.
Well, I mean, we saw these kind of, like, people being really excited on set, like the writers, the directors, the producers. But we had really no idea what we were getting into until we started the filming. And I was fortunate enough to meet Bill Mumy, And that was really amazing. We've become great friends. We play mandolin together. We bonded over comic books and Pete Seeger. And I believe it was around episode 6 where I was kind of like, okay, this is actually, we hit our groove then. That's when we felt like we were doing something special.
So you didn't get the enormity of there's a half century of fan base already built into this until well into filming.
So my uncles and my friends' parents were really obsessed with Lost in Space when they were a kid. But when I came home one day, I found the script on our table and I was like, "Hey mom, what's this?" And she's like, "Oh, that's a script. We passed it on it because it takes you away from home too long and we want you to stay with your friends." But I said, "I've been dreaming of this since I was, as far as I can remember. I love robots. I love space. I love, you know, superheroes," which is basically what the Robinsons are.
This was everything you've loved forever, right?
Forever.
Yeah.
I mean, she passed on it and I was like, mom, please, please let me do this. And, you know, from there, you know, it led to here.
But you didn't know it was an original series. You didn't know it was on like back in the day and it was black and white. Like you didn't know at that point. You just thought it was a very cool sci-fi series, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about your meeting, your audition process, your meeting with the producers.
I met with Kevin Burns. He came to set one day and Kevin grew up loving this show.
That's the understatement of the year.
Yeah, he loves the show so much that he became friends with everyone and he got the rights to all of Irwin Allen's work. So when I started talking with him, I mean, we bonded instantly. He talked about the show in such a way that it made you feel like you were part of this family, not of a cast.
What did he tell you about Will Robinson that made it click for you?
It was a combination of what a lot of people have said to me. But Kevin Burns said he would grow up and he would imagine himself being like John Robinson and having kids like Will Robinson. And he would make me cry stories he would tell. And David Nutter, he was our 10th episode director. He grew up loving the show, and he cried whenever he talked about Will Robinson. And I knew how much this meant to people, so I kind of felt like a duty to make these, to bring justice to these people.
What was it that they, if you don't mind sharing, if you want to keep that personal, that's totally fair as well. But do you mind sharing anything that they said that they were so passionate about?
Kevin Burns said Will Robinson is a superhero to him. He said he grew up and wanted to be Will Robinson. He wanted to have that relationship with the robot. You know, I feel like he said Will Robinson will be an inspiration to all the kids who feel like they don't belong. That really hit home to me because there are a lot of kids at my school who feel like they don't belong.
Wow, that's some heavy stuff to come in. Wow, that really sets the stage then, doesn't it?
It made me feel a responsibility.
Wow, yeah, that's and you carried it off. You really carried it off. So, okay, what homework did they give you? You watched some of the original episodes?
I did, yeah. I watched the first season and a half of the original.
Wow.
I really liked the first unaired pilot because it was more serious and darker.
Yeah.
I mean, Dr. Smith wasn't in there, which I was like, come on, if we could have Dr. Smith in there, that'd be really cool. But I really thought it was really interesting how they did that.
Did you get to the season 2 episode Space Circus?
No, I didn't, but everyone's been telling me about it.
Okay. All right. So you've got that. You might find that one pretty cool. Were you getting the scripts as you were prepping to film the episodes, or did you sort of get a broad idea of the entire 10 episode story arc to begin with? And I ask you this, because, you know, obviously when, you know, there's a tragedy with the robot as, you know, as we get in there. I just was curious if you knew that early on. And don't worry about spoilers because there's plenty of spoiler alerts at the beginning of this interview.
Right.
And if they haven't seen it yet.
So we were getting, I think when we came, we only had the first scripts for episode 1 and 2. And even while we were filming those, they were constantly being changed. Mm. So by the time I had read about episode 6, we were filming episode 5. It was kind of like on a day-to-day basis, we were finding out these scripts. But the writers and the creators and the producers, they were so great. It kind of felt so natural.
So you didn't know what was going to happen with the robot until almost you were ready to film it.
Yeah. And we had a great director on that. His name is Vincenzo Natali, and he was really great.
Can you walk us through that scene where you have to, where you basically, you have to kill the robot?
Yeah. So it was, I went to set that day, and it was probably the first sunny day we had had in Vancouver. I showed up on set. It was probably around 10:30 a.m., and I was a bit groggy, but I walked on set, and I saw Brian there, and I was like, Brian, this is going to be a really heavy day. And he's like, I know, Max, but we'll get through this together. And it kind of was all a blur until we got to that scene. And I just had to think about me losing my best friend, Junebug, who's my rescued pit bull, who I've known since I was 3 years old and grown up with. Hmm. And that, it was all a blur, and you just had to think about losing your best friend.
That's unbelievable. I've seen you in other interviews mention about, you have two rescued pit bulls?
I do. Their names are Junebug and Rosie. They both perform in our circus, and they are pretty amazing.
And they sort of help you channel this relationship with the robot?
Yes. When I was...
Pitbulls get a bad rap?
Pitbulls do get a bad rap. When I was preparing for the role, it came to me that Junebug and Rosie are so much like the robot. They are misunderstood. They have a bad reputation, but they are fierce protectors, and they are loyal and kind. So I took that in, and it changed the way I looked at the robot.
Does this robot have a name?
It doesn't, but I kept on trying to name it S.J. Robinson, because that's what we call my sister, Samantha Jenkins. So, yeah.
Okay, so in Will's mind, it has a name.
Yes, in Will's mind, it does have a name.
But it hasn't been vocalized yet.
No, not yet, but... I'm hoping.
If you were laying odds, do you think the robot will get a name, or do you think it'll? Because yeah, well, you know the original. I don't know if you know this or not. Because you talked to Bill Mumy. Do you know the original robot's name?
It was B9, right?
It is B9. That's his call number. And then Bill wrote a conclusion that got them home, that got the Robinsons home, and that's on the Blu-ray set. And he, in that, gives the robot a name. Do you know that?
No, I had no clue. I got to check it out.
Then that is the next conversation you need to have with Mr. Mumy.
Of course, of course. Okay. He wrote a comic book.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he wrote a few of them, yeah. Soul. And hopefully reprinting. I think Kevin Burns had mentioned that they're going to be reprinting that, so we'll finally get that in an affordable... means. I think it's like a couple $100 right now online. Talk about...
One of them.
Oh, go ahead.
Kevin gave me one of those, and I really like it.
You got the trade paperback?
Yep.
The collected works. See, you've got more of it than I do. Although I have a digital version. I know the story. That's amazing. See, you really bonded with these guys.
Yeah, I mean, whenever we are in LA, we visit Kevin and Bill, and we had dinner with the original cast, which was amazing. Mm.
When you were at Kevin's office, I don't know if it's at his office or where, but did you get to see the original robot?
It wasn't at his office, but he had so many models of it.
Yeah.
That was insane. You walk into it, it's like a museum.
Yeah. So you haven't seen the original yet?
No. Wait, the original...
The original B9 robot.
No, I haven't yet, but I did see the original Will Robinson's laser gun.
Oh, nice. You got to hold that?
I got to hold that and take a picture with it. It was really fun.
The nerd in you must, your nerd brain must have just exploded.
I mean, it overloaded. And I also got to sit in, Irwin Allen's director's chair.
Nice. Oh, it doesn't get any better than this, does it?
Not at all.
It's good to be you. Talk about working with a robot. You know, back in the day, you know, it was, you know, Bob May in a suit. Dude hanging out smoking a cigar in the suit. We do get, there is a dude in a suit still, right?
Yes, but there's so much, it's like a combination of practical effects and CGI.
Yeah.
There's so much technology that goes into it. And the guy who's in it is such a great actor and he works so hard. The great Brian Steele, that you feel like you're talking to your childhood hero.
Okay, so you're actually interacting with him on some level?
Yes, and my relationship with Brian Steele is great. I mean, he checks in with me all the time. We had a handshake where we would fist bump and say dynamic duo and make like the jellyfish-like thing where you fist bump and go away. And you know how Will Robinson and the robot have that bond over the baseball?
Mm-hmm.
Him and the robot crew, the guys who would take care of the robot suit and stuff, they signed it for me and drew a mini robot on it. And I have that framed in my room now. They signed a baseball.
That's fantastic. That's a fantastic memory of an incredible scene because it's heartbreaking to watch Toby Stevens looking in on that. Because that to me almost tells the dynamic of not only Will's relationship with the robot, but Will's relationship with his dad. Dad wasn't there to play catch.
And Toby is such an amazing actor that having those scenes with him felt, you know, really clean and effortless, and he was so great.
Had you talked about it with him in advance of that, like how you guys were going to play that?
No, not really. We showed up on set and we would do it and he would just guide me through it and he was so amazing.
There's so much fantastic backstory to these characters. That scene is great. I have a few listener questions I want to share with you, if you don't mind.
Totally. I'd love to.
Listener Dennis Martz, he wants to know who you would like to see either from the original series or the feature film. Who would you want to see become a regular or a guest star on the show if there's a season two? Let's assume every question I ask you assumes there's a season two. just for legal reasons, but let's assume that. If there's a season two, is there somebody from the original or the feature film that you'd like to come on as a guest star or a regular in a new role?
Yes. Well, I think we all know my answer right now. It's totally Bill Mumy.
He's Dr. Smith.
Yeah. Well, I'm cool if he could come back and, like, maybe he didn't, you know, die.
We never saw his body. That's what I always say through this whole thing. We never saw his body, right?
Yep, that or Mark Goddard.
Oh, wow. That would be classic. Good picks. I have another listener question if you're ready for it.
Of course. Let's do this.
From friend of the show, Mina Sunwall. She said in this question, she wants to know who is your favorite Robinson. And she told me you definitely know the right answer to this question.
I mean, I do love Penny, but she is my sister. And I mean, I feel like she would hunt me down if I didn't say Penny.
A fair assessment, yeah.
But also, the robot and Debbie the chicken.
That's the safest answer I think I've ever heard.
Yeah. But I also I like both the sisters most of all. Those, in all honesty, both the sisters are great.
Would you rather have a chicken or a monkey?
I grew up loving monkeys, but I'd say a pit bull.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I'd want to have one of my dogs in space.
Few more questions, listener questions. I've got a few more questions from another friend of Comic Book Central, Mr. Bill Mumy. He's got a few questions for you. Are you ready for these?
Yes.
All right, Bill would like to know, what is your favorite Bucky Barnes story?
Me and Bill have bonded over Bucky Barnes. It is insane.
He told you Bucky was his inspiration, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He did, and Captain America is mine.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I'm going to combine Captain America and Bucky Barnes and don't criticize me.
This is a safe place.
Don't criticize me because this is from the movie. I have read the comic book, so don't worry.
All right.
I really like it in the movie when it's little small Chris Evans and big strong Bucky Barnes, and they're at the dance, and he has his date, but Chris Evans kind of scrawny and he's walling around, but Bucky's always such a good friend to him. It actually kind of reminds me of Will and the Robot. And by the end, Will is kind of looking out for the robot, just like Cap for Bucky.
Oh, wow. So that's sort of protective nature, and then it flips.
Yeah.
That I would not have even picked up on that, and that's amazing that you did. You've talked a lot with Bill Mumy about Bucky Barnes and these stories. Didn't they do an amazing job in these movies? Because I don't know if you know the history, but there's always like one the rule of comic books is Bucky stays dead. Like Bucky always stays dead. And then they brought him back with Winter Soldier and broke that rule.
Yeah.
They've done such an amazing job with this. It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool for us fans to know that original Will Robinson channeled Bucky and that current Will Robinson is channeling Bucky in Captain America.
I mean, Cap really influenced my my portrayal of Will Robinson. I really, starting as that scared, anxious kid and growing up to become stronger, more brave. I really think that the Marvel movies have done such a great job in making them feel like these average day people can connect and, you know, feel represented by their own superhero.
You know, I never made that connection until you just said it. That because we just Captain America was just on the other day. If I'm flipping around and I see it, I stop on it. Where he is scrawny, he's put in the and they give him the super soldier serum, and he becomes Captain America. I'm thinking of your scene now, where you is it episode 10? I think at the end of episode 10, where you were able to just channel everything and do what you need to do and overcome the stress.
And I mean, the rope was Will Robinson's super serum.
Wow. I'm going to rewatch these episodes in a whole new way. Mr. Mumy also wants to know, what is your favorite Pete Seeger song?
Oh man, Take It From Dr. King. I love that song. And Where Have All the Flowers Gone?
Is it true that you're both working on composing a song together?
Yeah, so we wrote a song together. It's called This Machine, and it's all about Pete Seeger's life, and it's how it's styled after a protest song. We wrote it to be like a protest song, and now me and my band plays it, and I really want to play it with Bill.
Is this going to be like on one of his albums that he releases?
Gosh, I mean, Bill's so talented. I don't know how this could make it on with all those songs, but if it were, that would be cool, but I don't think so.
But that's something that's a possibility that you guys might record together.
I mean, that would be amazing.
That would be amazing. Now, on the original series, Will Robinson, Bill's Will Robinson, he was always there to save the day. That's kind of like if you watch all three seasons, it's like it always comes down to Will Robinson saving the day. Kind of like you talked about Star Trek earlier. They did that with Wesley Crusher a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think that drove everybody nuts a little bit. I thought it was an interesting take this time where it's not Will that saves the day. And Will has some issues, and Mom cheated to get him in the program. I thought that was such an interesting take on that. I just wanted to get your thoughts on sort of a different Will Robinson that we're used to.
Yeah, well, I was honestly going into it, I was afraid I would disappoint original fans because, you know, Will Robinson is such an iconic character, and he is a child hero. So taking a different spin on it, I was worried. But I took the leap of faith, and, you know, for it, and you know, the writing really helped, and I was fortunate enough to be around such talented actors that, you know, I think we were able to do something really I think it's well done, and I was really glad that Will Robinson, you know, some of my friends have gone up to me and said, you know, Max, you've really given me a voice, and I'm like, how? And they're like, Will Robinson, he inspired me, because before this I was a bit quiet and afraid to voice myself, but Will Robinson gave me a voice. So that was really meaningful to me, and that's what I set out to do when I was portraying Will Robinson.
Oh, just moving into the, again, if there's a season two, but that moving into that, that's got to give you just that next level.
I mean, I'm seriously tearing up right now.
Oh man, this is amazing. It's just like you think, oh, it's a sci-fi show, and ping, and things go, and there's a robot, and things explode. But then all of a sudden you meet people, you go to conventions like you do, and you're buddies at school, and they tell you, no, you don't understand, this is impacting my life. That's got to be, because you don't see that on set. You guys are just, you're cold, you're working long days, there's Kraft donuts, Kraft service donuts. And then all of a sudden it becomes real, right?
Yeah, and I feel like Lost in Space today has been relevant in so many issues, and Will Robinson's character, because kids nowadays are stressed and they're scared to put themselves out there. They're afraid of what the status quo will think of them. So Will Robinson, I feel like, was a voice for that.
I'm trying to remember because it's been a couple of weeks since I've seen the series, but I'm like the mom confesses, like, she cheated to get Will in because she fudged the results. She confessed that to John, right? When they're in the chariot and I think it's sinking, and I think she confesses that she cheated, but she hasn't, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think she's confessed that to Will yet, right?
In episode 10, spoiler alert.
I couldn't remember if she said that to Will, and that's what gives him the courage too, along with the robot, right? Of that he can do this.
But Will, she didn't confess it to him. He asked her.
Okay. That's what, okay. I couldn't remember. I was trying to go back because I remember the chariot scene, and I'm trying to remember if – okay, so yes, spoiler alert. But that does give you something to play with in season two, though, if that happens, right?
It does, and I'm hoping in season two Will can be – yes, he's always going to be a sensitive kid, and what kid isn't? But I'm hoping he can more be braver and make his own decisions and, make mistakes, because in season two, I'm a teenager. I'm the same age as Will, so Will's going to be a teenager. And I really want to play with that, dabble in Will making mistakes with the robots.
Do you have a favorite moment of the 10 episodes?
I really like it. And same with my grandfather. He called me and he said, I really like this. He said, when Will Robinson says to Maureen when he's about to go out into space, in the 10th episode, he says, what's the point of you protecting me my whole life if I can't grow up to protect you? And that, I really like that line because it really sums up Will Robinson's journey throughout that whole season.
What would you like to see happen with the relationship between Will, the robot, and Dr. Smith? Because we know how it plays out in the TV show. It's especially season two, very comedic. Yes. But it's pretty much those three off on an adventure almost the entire series. What would you personally like to see as a fan, as a robot guy, as a sci-fi guy, that relationship and working more with Parker Posey?
I mean, Parker was my best friend. She still is. And in season two, I would love to see more Will and Dr. Smith. Because in season one, they were kind of friends in the beginning, and then they were angry at each other. And I want to dabble in them, kind of when Will makes mistakes, if he does. I want Smith to kind of be the good guy, maybe a little bit. I think it'd be cool to like flip roles in an episode or two. It'd be really interesting.
Do you think that could happen? Because that's sort of what happened with Smith. He became a comedic character and was more of a friend to Will.
Yeah.
Even though he tried to kill them in season one.
And I think something that is good about Will, and some people might see as the downfall, is that he sees the best in people, and that includes Smith too. So I think we could also dabble in that. That'd be cool.
Have you worked out something with Parker Posey already?
No, we haven't. But whenever I visit New York and we have lunch together, we always talk about wacky ideas that could go on between Will and Smith.
What's the craziest idea you guys have concocted?
I think one of them was where she becomes the robot. I think her and the robot like fused together or something. Or another one was where, I think this was my idea, and then Parker expanded on it and made it crazy insane, which I love. But Will and Smith, they they find this new planet, and they find all the robots, and half the robots side with Smith, half the robots side with Will, and they have this gigantic, like, crazy, like, war that goes on for the planet of the robots.
You just want a robot war. That's all you want to see.
I want robot peace, but I feel like Smith would want robot war.
That probably makes sense. Or if Smith becomes the robot, are you thinking that Brian Steele could then call Parker Posey a bubble-headed booby?
Yeah.
That would be a very cool episode. Why do you think this story resonates still so much? I mean, the original Swiss Family Robinson, written in 1812, the original series over a half century ago. Why do we still love the Robinson so much? I'm asking that of all the Lost in Space folks I'm talking to.
Well, I think why people love the Robinson so much is because, yes, all genres have their golden time. But something that never fades away is family. You always have family there. Family will always be prominent. And I feel like the aspect of a not perfect family that comes together and survives has been what brings people back to the Robinsons.
What are you working on now between season one and the potential season two? You got something coming up, or are you taking a nice break from being lost in space?
Well, I mean, we're looking and stuff, but right now my main project, the one I'm allowed to say is, get ready for it, big secret, school.
You and Mina, you guys have to get an education. I think between Will and Penny, I think you guys are going to be all right. I think you guys can probably ace any test that comes along.
Yeah.
And you always have the help of the robot if you need it.
Yep, that supercomputer.
Social media, fans, how can they find out more about you?
Well, my Instagram tag is MaxwellJenkins8. And that's where I usually am. You can send me DMs and stuff. And, you know, I try to get back to as many people as I can. And also I have a Twitter, also MaxwellJenkins8. And Facebook, also MaxwellJenkins8.
We're going to follow you all over the place. And I'm telling you what, Max, well, you guys, you got it. You got the tone. You did the original cast and crew proud. The series is amazing. I think, like I told Mina, I think you guys are going to be lost in space for quite a while.
Thank you. I've been lucky enough to be part of it.
Oh, we're enjoying watching this. It's back. Lost in Space is back. We love the robot. We love Will. We love the Robinsons. We love Dr. Smith. All of it. I hope we hear something about season two soon. Hope you do well in school. Ace your tests. Get plenty of rest and drink your milk. And thank you for joining me on the show today.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Man, he loves comic books, robots, and Pete Seeger. Look, was there anybody else that could have done this? Maxwell was the perfect choice to fill Bill Mumy's space boots as Will Robinson. And look, all this time he was afraid he was going to disappoint fans of the original Will. Not a chance of that happening, young man. You knocked it out of the park. And he wants a War of the Robots. How great is that? We had one in the original series, Robbie the Robot versus B9. Who knows? Maybe we'll get the Netflix version of Robbie the Robot and see both go toe-to-toe fighting. Do robots have toes? I don't know. Can they go toe-to-toe? Maxwell probably has the answer to that. He knows everything about robots. Galaxy-sized thanks to Maxwell for stopping by the lair today. And congratulations to him, his castmates, everyone behind Lost in Space. Season 2 is on the way. It's officially announced. And executive producer Kevin Burns, he's mentioned recently that they're working on scripts as we speak. He also mentioned there might be some more Lost in Space merchandise on the way, some more things coming out, possible reprints of Bill Mumy's Innovation comic book series. I'm hoping we get a reprint of the original Space Family Robinson comics. I know there was one a few years ago from Dark Horse. They're no longer available, though. You can find some online, but they're pricey. So, man, that'd be cool if we get another affordable reprint of Space Family Robinson comic books. One thing you can find online at a great price is Christopher Leonard's incredible score to the series. Christopher also composed the music to Agent Carter, by the way, so there's another cool comic book tie-in. Hoping to have him on the show at some point to talk about both projects, so we'll see. So stay tuned, see if we can get him on the show. For his Lost in Space soundtrack, Us fans of the original series were thrilled to hear that he included John Williams' original theme music into the soundtrack. Oh, that was so fantastic. It's an incredible listen, especially the music for the scene I just talked about with Maxwell from episode 6, the tragic scene in episode 6. Also, the track behind Penny and the Chariot, that was a scene I talked about with Mina Sunwell last week. So, great music. The soundtrack is available from Lakeshore Records. It's lakeshorerecords.com. I cannot stop listening to it over and over and over again. It reminds me a lot of John Williams, too, which is very cool. I'm going to put that link in the show notes for this episode at my website, comicbookcentral.net, and the show's page at blogtalkradio.com/comicbookcentral. There you will also find links to Maxwell on social media. You'll find a link to the Midnight Circus. Everything you need is going to be in there. Folks, if you're not all in on Lost in Space yet, go all in. What are you waiting for? Binge season 1 on Netflix. Good old-fashioned, family-friendly sci-fi fun. There's robots, there's monsters, there's spaceships, there's drama, there's comedy, there's action, there's adventure. Van Halen's in there too. Trust me. Eye-popping special effects. It's got it all. And if you want some classic Lost in Space podcast goodness, don't forget, if you haven't heard them already, you can check out my exclusive in-depth conversations with the original crew of the Jupiter 2, Bill Mumy, Angela Cartwright, Mark Goddard, Marta Kristen, as well as Lost in Space author Mark Cushman, and the executive producer of the original series Blu-ray set and the new Netflix series, Kevin Burns. Chatted with him as well. Episodes 169 through 174 of Comic Book Central. They are in the archive at the website. You can also find them in the archive at Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher, Google Play, The Lair's everywhere. Lost in Space episodes are out there. Be sure to share The Lair on social media as well each and every week. If you're out there, facebook.com/comicbookcentralnetwork. Like the show on Facebook, Twitter at comicbookctrl. And be sure to drop me a line. Tell me what you think of the new Lost in Space series. Tell me what you think of the original Lost in Space series. Tell me what you think of these conversations. joe@comicbookcentral.net. Or you can click the Signal Me tab at the website or leave a voicemail at the website. I want to hear from you. All right, that will just about do it for today. Man, it is a spectacular day outside. I think Maxwell the Robot and I are going to go out and play some catch. But fear not, sci-fi and comic book fans, I will be back with another crazy cool Comic Book Central conversation before you know it. In fact, next week on Comic Book Central.
Last week, as you recall,
the battle over Debbie the Lost in Space Chicken began on last week's episode with Mina Sunwell claiming Debbie the Chicken for herself. Even though Debbie is Don West's companion and co-pilot in the series, next week, you will hear from the pilot of the Jupiter 2 himself when Ignacio Siricio drops by. What will he think about Mina's comments? You will have to be here next week. Same time, same station. Until then, keep an eye out for that evil Dr. Smith. Keep reading those comics. And thanks for joining me here in the Lair. Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central. All other content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of their respective holders.
Nothing can stop me.
I am very strong. I can stop you.
I am armed not only with superior mental powers, but superior weapons as well.
You will be stopped.
I can destroy you easily, foolish, sad machine. There can be no fight between us. It would not be a contest. You need a small